Wait for it. Yeah, 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 yeah. It is me. Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah.
I know. Who's the new guy? What is he doing here the day after the smack off or the first show after the smack off? Great question. I'm asking myself the same thing.
But I don't want to talk sports or anything. I want to talk America's Funniest Home Videos.
I don't want to talk sports or anything. I want to talk you. The hell are you doing here, Rome? The show after the smack off. Here I am.
There?
This is not a bit. This is real. You haven't seen me yet on CBS Sports Network, but you will. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. In fact, I am here. It's not typical. In fact, it's atypical. Normally, after the smack off, I bounce. I walk off on it, but I am here. Yes, I am. So you know what that means? We can talk about the Smack Off, Smack Off 28. I've got a complete recap, and your reaction was so good over the weekend. Let's go ahead and do it. If you know what you want to talk about as it relates to the Smack Off, go ahead. Obviously, we've got a Stanley Cup champ, a new one, which I will get to in a minute. Lots of baseball, lots of basketball, and a whole lot more. It's Health Underbreeds toll free. Yeah, great, Rome. Why are you here? I just am. That's the way the schedule's set up. Now, that said, I am going to bounce and begin my summer vacation soon, but just not yet. Not today.
What are
Phone
we
number
doing
is,
here?
What are we doing here? What are we talking about? What are we,
like,
what are we doing? Like, why are you here, Rome? What's
here?
Up? Why
like,
are you not
are
in Wisconsin getting fat? What are you, why are
like,
you here?
What are we doing?
Fat!
Just doing business,
like,
yo.
What am I doing here?
Just hosting the show. Telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to hit me up on social media, you know to do that. Hit me at Jim Rome. That's good on Instagram as well. And yes, you can email me still, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interviews are as follows. I've got Ken Danico. He's back. Three-time Stanley Cup champ to help us break down the new Stanley Cup champs. That is coming up at 9:40 Pacific time. Second hour is wide open. In hour number three, I've got back-to-back interviews. I've got a defensive tackle with the Minnesota Vikings. They show up a lot in the jungle, don't they? The Vikes? Dalvin Tomlinson joins me. UFC president Dana White. It's got a big week. Dana White joins me at 11:40. I've got an ATP coming up today, too. So, if you would, since I'm here, the day after or the show after the smack off, what do you say you lob me a telephone call? 1-800-636-8686. Why don't we start with some puck? I tweeted it last night. Only a great team could end the Bolts dynasty. And the Colorado Avalanche are just that. They are great. Cale Makar, is that good? Nathan MacKinnon, is that good? Gabriel Landeskog, is that good? Darcy Kuemper, even with all of his doubters, is that good? This team is that good. You were not going to fluke your way to beating Tampa Bay four times in a single series. Nobody had done that in 3 years. And when Tampa Bay beat Colorado in Colorado on Friday night, you knew it was going to be even tougher. Then the Lightning got out quickly last night.
Trying to keep it alive. Makar takes it away, loses it. Here's Stamkos open in front. Score! Stamkos! The Lightning forced their turnover, and Stamkos has made it 1-0 Lightning with 16:12 left in the first.
All right, so at that point, Stamkos scores early. It felt like it was going to be a long night for Colorado. Tampa Bay out quickly, swarming early on. If they got out to a multi-goal lead, especially with that stud between the pipes, they put that game away, then all the pressure in the world, as good as they are, all the pressure in the world goes back on the Avs going back home. Except that never happened. Tampa Bay never got out to that multi-goal lead. In fact, they didn't score again. Not only did they not score, they didn't get many looks. In fact, they got locked up. Down 2-1 in the third. They actually went 10 minutes without a single shot on goal. You know how good you have to be defensively to hold the Lightning without a shot on goal for 10 minutes in the final period in their own barn with their season and their dynasty on the line. Do you know how good you have to be? Do you know how aggressive that forecheck's got to be? How suffocating you have to be? They were that good. Tampa Bay was hitting Colorado with everything they had, and the Avalanche never even flinched. Guys were throwing themselves in front of pucks, losing skate blades, getting dragged off the ice. Colorado refused to crack. They allowed a total of two shots on goal in the third period, according to The Athletic. two shots with a one-goal lead in a cup-clinching third period. That's how you close it out. That's how you shut the other guy down. I mean, that's like some Mariano Rivera stuff right there. That's Dennis Eckersley in his prime, slamming the door shut repeatedly. And that led to the final seconds on the road in the home of the two-time defending champs.
10 seconds now. Forecheck here from Kale McCarr. It's all the way to the other end of the ice. 4 seconds. 3 seconds. 2 seconds. 1 second. It's over. They did it. They did it. The job is done. The Colorado Avalanche are Stanley Cup champions. And they will lift Lord Stanley a mile high. Ladies and gentlemen, the cup is coming back to Colorado.
Avalanche Radio. Look, I'm not going to say the Avalanche were built to beat the Lightning, but they were built to beat the Lightning. They were built to end a dynasty. They've got youth. They've got experience. They have incredible speed. They've got Nathan MacKinnon. They've got Kale McCarr. And they've got a massive chip on their shoulders. Why do I say that? Nathan MacKinnon. This is what he had to say just over 1 year ago after they got bounced in the playoffs.
There's always next year. It's always you talk about it. Like, I mean, I'm going to my ninth year next year and I haven't won. So I'm just definitely motivated. And I'm just, yeah, it just sucks, you know, losing four in a row to a team. And, you know, it felt like last year was our first real chance to win. And this year we had, I mean, I thought we were the best team in the league. We, for whatever reason, we just couldn't get it together. And I'm sure in training camp next year, we'll figure it out and dissect things and come back better.
There you go. You've won bleep now, Nathan. Even in winning, he was still tipping his cap to Tampa Bay. Quote, it's crazy how they went back to back. I might get fat as bleep right now. So I don't know if we're going back to back, but I'm going to enjoy it for sure. End of quote. So from not winning bleep to getting fat as bleep after winning. Man, that is the dream, isn't it? But it wasn't just MacKinnon who was out to prove something. Nazem Kadri also had some motivation, and he had a message for his critics after it was over.
As you have a lot of fans down in Southern Ontario, London, of course, Toronto, etc. What do you want to say to all those fans out there that have stuck with you and wanted to see you have this moment?
I love you guys. I love you guys. That's all there is to be said. I mean, I've had supporters in my corner from day one, never wavered. And, you know, for everyone that thought I was a liability in the playoffs, you can kiss my ass.
So good. Raising the Stanley Cup is the greatest feeling in sports. Raising the Stanley Cup and then getting to tell your critics to, quote, kiss my ass.
Kiss my ass.
It's got to be even better. I mean, to illustrate how great this team is, just look at Kale McCarr. I can do an entire take. In fact, I do have an entire take on Kale McCarr. I could do an entire hour on this guy. If you win the Norris Trophy, the Conn Smythe, and the Stanley Cup, you are something really special. But even that doesn't begin to do this guy justice. The list of players who have won the Norris and the Conn Smythe in the same year is Bobby Orr, Nick Lidstrom, and that's it. As the old cliche goes, that's it. That's the list. And now McCarr is on that list. An Orr.
A car.
Oh, you didn't have that one, did you, Avi? An Orr. A Lidstrom.
A car.
And now McCarr. And by the way, those Bobby Orr comparisons are only going to get louder and louder. It used to be absolute blasphemy. I mean, they put you in jail if you ever try to compare anybody to Bobby Orr. It was like a criminal offense. It used to be utter blasphemy to mention anybody in the same breath as Bobby Orr. Not anymore, though. He led the team in points in the postseason. It was the easiest Conn Smythe vote of all time. He's not just the best defenseman in hockey. I'm open to the argument that he's not the best player in hockey. In fact, I might just make that argument myself a little bit later on. How many other people who have ever walked the planet can defend Connor McDavid and initiate offense? And this is not a one-man team. This was a group effort. They won 56 games in the regular season, 72 overall. So they're not just great. They are an all-perform. who's played more than 1,200 career games and had never won a cup, played with pins in his broken finger to get the cup last night. He was asked if it was worth it, and his answer was exactly what you'd expect. Quote, bleeping right? Bleeping right it's worth it, and bleeping right that they're worthy champs. And it might be the bleeping start of another bleeping dynasty. And when I say the start of another bleeping dynasty, I'm talking about a legit dynasty. Not some dynasty where you have a bunch of wins in the regular season, but don't get it done when it matters. No names mentioned. Chris in Southeast Wisco. I'm looking at you, dude. Stacking racked calls in the regular season and then not placing in the smack off is not a dynasty. Now, if it sounds like I'm rubbing it in, I'm not. I'm not here to do that. I just expected a lot out of you, dude. I did. We're good. We're still good. You need a new tagline, Chris.
It's a dynasty, clones.
You need a new tagline, Chris.
It's a dynasty, clones.
A new tagline, Chris.
It's a dynasty, clones.
New tagline, Chris. So, you've got worthy champs. Ken Danico will join me at 40 past. I want to talk about that. That third period was amazing. I felt like the Avalanche were playing 6-on-5 the entire third period. So there is your opening topic. I do have a recap of the smack off. I am here. After all, it is the show after the show. So we will break it all down. If you have thoughts on it, you go right ahead. Hit me up right now. Other topics today. Normally, base brawls are anything but. Nothing happens. Guys come on the field. They look for somebody to hold on to. They just have to make sure that they're out there looking like they're going to do something. Punches rarely get thrown. Mariners Angels was not that. That was the very epitome of Donnybrook. That was a brawl. Drowning pool should have been bumping in that yard. Man, how concerned do you think the Angels? They didn't seem like they were very, very concerned at all. But weren't you looking for Shohei? Can you imagine Shohei having somebody roll up on him in the middle of that? So I want to break that down, and we will get to that a little bit later on. Meantime, in the association, you've got Kyrie Irving, you have Kevin Durant, and we could talk about where Kyrie might end up. Is he going anywhere at all? If he does, what does that mean to Durant? How does Russell Westbrook fit into all this? As far as I'm concerned, no matter what happens, we all win. Team content wins no matter what. And I will hit that as well. Telephone number is toll free. Let me check some of the reaction before I go to break. Peter writes, what? No Deca Moo? Hashtag the jungle. That was a winning moment, wasn't it? A winning smack off moment. Hey, Rome Slice, who had a better weekend? Caleb in Green Bay winning the smack off or you autographing my shirt? Regards, Geoff and Lincoln. All right, so normally, first of all, Geoff, Caleb, by far. Let me reread that for you. Rome Slice, who had a better weekend? Caleb in Green Bay winning the smack off or you autographing my shirt? Regards, Geoff and Lincoln. It sounds random. It sounds like Geoff doing Geoff things. It sounds like my normal response will be Geoff. You're a moron, yo. You can't even pronounce your own name. Except it's a valid question. Because I did, in fact, autograph a shirt for Geoff. It's true. It happened. And there is a story behind that. But to answer your question, who had a better weekend, Caleb in Green Bay winning the smack off or you autographing my shirt? Regards, Geoff and Lincoln. Definitely Caleb, Geoff. Sorry, Geoff. My signing your shirt was not nearly as exciting for me as it was for you. And I guarantee it was not nearly as exciting for either one of us, maybe for you, as it was for Caleb to finally win this thing. I'll share that story with you. At David 80s tweets, I've been a clone over 25 years. And that Decca move definitely takes the cake. War Hillbilly Jim in 10 years. You won. That was the rare, rare smack-off where there wasn't utter outrage. I mean, there was some dissension. There was some disagreement. But mostly people were happy with the way it went. Mostly people thought, man, those callers in hour one sucked. But then the monsters showed up and took over, and the right guy won. Although I afraid he was incredible. I afraid he was incredible. He was the runner-up. And not only can I say that that call would win in a lot of other years, it could have won Friday. It was that close. We really agonized over that. But the Decca Moo and Caleb did just enough. Matt in Poland Springs writes, Rome, absolutely ecstatic for Caleb to finally get the crown he deserves. Caleb, for years, has put together some of the most entertaining calls. He might not be the best who's ever done it yet, but it was by far the best caller to the show on Friday, despite a late run by Iafredi. Congratulations, Walrus. Bring him back next year.
Congratulations.
Matt in Poland Springs. Man, why don't you let him enjoy it for a moment or two? Iafredi, to use a horse racing analogy, was closing like a bleeping freight train. That was one of his best calls ever, and that's a guy who's won before. Romy, are you ready for your giant stack of pancakes and pork chop on the side? Sign Woody. All right, so we already have a date, clones. The famous Woody breakfast is July 2nd. And I've already been told that he plans on stepping his game up for me. He knows, clones. He knows you. He knows you talk about him. He knows that he's got a reputation. He's not afraid of any of this. My man is Wisco through and through. Woody is not afraid of anything. Woody embraces the challenge. Woody probably is going to have a full studio set up there. Camera crew, local news. Anyway, I'll hit that spot. iPhone 13 Pro Max rolling, clones. You'll see what it looks like. Anyway, put it in your calendar. July 2nd is the day. He's ready. At Benton Webb, Chris in Southeast Wisco's new tagline should be, it's AmeriCorps, clones.
It's a dynasty, clones.
It's all right. It takes time. You know, rare is the person who shows up on the very first time and just murders it, or the second time or third time, but it's happened. I've got a full recap on that. So if you want in and you want to talk about it, you want to hit me up right now. Ken Danico is coming up at 9:40. Second hour is wide open. Third hour, Dalvin Tomlinson and Dana White. Actually, I'll give it to you straight. I am here today, and I'm here tomorrow, and I'm here Wednesday. And then the vacation starts. So for me, it's a short week, which means you want to get up in here right now. So if I'm talking Dana White, you know I'm talking UFC 276. UFC 276 is here. Get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. New customers can bet $5 on any fighter to win and get $100 in free bets, win or lose. And with DraftKings same game parlays, you can turn another small bet into a big payday. Combine multiple bets like which fighter will win, number knockouts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the code ROME, bet $5 on any UFC 276 fighter to win, and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code ROME at DraftKings Sportsbook. Code ROME, DraftKings Sportsbook, 21 plus in most eligible states, but age does vary by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for deets and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
That's two for me. Segments, I mean. I'm still here. That was not a joke.
It's two for me.
I really am here this show after the show. Something that never happens. Is your check engine light on? Do not ignore it. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let their professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. They will retrieve the codes. They will discuss possible solutions and even help you find a professional technician if necessary. They can help you find a service center online. Just go to O'ReillyAuto.com, click on Find a Repair Shop. When you see a check engine light, get the answers you need from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, so quickly, I do have Ken Danico coming up next segment. This says, do you know who the hell I am? Signed Caleb to the Dairy Queen employee that forgot to add those little nuts to his blizzard.
You know who the hell I am?
Casey, New Hampshire. See, that's the thing. And this is why he's such a popular winner. He's the last guy to throw that in somebody's face. You know who the hell I am. Almost anybody else who would have won that event, maybe not I for 80, would have said, you know who the hell I am.
You know who the hell I am?
I'll give an example. Maggie and Perloff wanted to interview the winner. And Caleb was like, nah, I can't. Like, he's too humble, man. It was like all so overwhelming. He just wanted to go back into the Lorelei and hang out with his peeps, from what I'm told. No, he's not that guy. He's not that guy. I think that he'll wear the crown comfortably as he gets more and more used to it. But believe me, this guy was not running around looking for microphones and cameras. Not as far as I can tell. So no, I don't think that he went to the local DQ and found out he was a couple of nuts short and then sent it back and said, you know who the hell I am?
You know who the hell I am?
You know what I just did? Freaking Caleb in Green Bay. Smack off champ. Give me another cherry. Give me more whipped cream.
You know who the hell I am?
No, this is why he's such a popular champ already. One, he's that good. And two, he's that likable. I said it in the buildup. I'm like, this is a good, good dude. A good dude. This one says, hey, Mark in Boston, kiss my ass. Signed to everyone in North America who heard the smack off. WPG in Baldwinsville. I will cover that. I will get to that aspect of it a little bit later on. Congratulations to Caleb. He had the best call, hands down. It was fresh, energetic, and funny as hell. And he didn't have to sit and call everyone fat. Which is just getting stale. Ron in Illinois. No, that's not true, Ron. That is not just getting stale. It's been stale for a very long time. It's just now getting stale. It's like, you know, Rome, those OJ resets are just getting kind of stale, you know? No, calling people fat has been stale for a long, long, long time. That's not just now getting stale. Sean writes, dear BIC, hi. Congratulations on your win. And I'd like to know how you feel after the game. Are you ready to give it another try? Signed, That Tennis Reporter.
Congratulations on your win.
Yeah, I don't know about the BIC. I don't know how he's kind of internalizing that. He doesn't lose very often.
Lost, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Or maybe he doesn't care at all. Anyway. Maybe he does. I don't know. I don't know. Jamie in Green Bay. The Avs ended a dynasty. I did that too. Chris in Southeast Wisco. I will get to that. However, if you're going to end every call with, it's a dynasty, Rome, you probably want to finish in the top 10. If you're going to run around and let everybody know you're a dynasty. I mean, that'd be like the Orlando Magic running around telling everybody, it's a dynasty association. I think he'll be back. I still think that he's got upside and game. Jim Bob. For next year's Smack Off, I suggest you take Jeff and Southfield's call, but don't actually put him on the air. Just play back his first ever call to the jungle. It might win. Signed, Alex. It was disappointing. I had high expectations for him. Also, notice we had a couple of people that I thought would call that did not. And they had their reasons. You just, as always, you never know which horse is going into the gate day of. You just don't know. Until they're actually in the gate and the race starts, you don't know what's going to happen. And then even once the race starts, you don't know what's going to happen. We got off to kind of a slow start. A number of you were pretty critical. And like I said, then the monsters showed up. Jimmy, is it just me or did Brad just mail it in this year? Michael Jordan in a Washington jersey thinks that that guy may have passed his prime.
That's f***ing bullshit.
Matt in Georgia. Easy, Matt. Easy. Hey, man, you can't win every single year. The smack-off is like UFC. Everybody loses. Everybody gets beat. I guarantee this. He didn't do enough to win, but he's not washed. The game did not blow by him. I mean, leading up to the event, he was sharp as hell. Always. The day before, he was sharp as hell. The day before, he felt as dangerous as he's ever felt. I said it myself. The guy not only is the GOAT, I think he's actually in his prime. Like, there's still more there. Now, what's going to be really interesting is how he reacts to that. You know, does that roll right off his back? Does he get fuel out of that? Does he really not care? Is he good? I don't know. I know this. The game has not passed Brad by. He just didn't win. He got beat by a better call. That'll happen. At Jay, you know what I love? I love that Twitter was still ablaze all weekend long. And the Monday that I come back, all the reaction is still about the smack off. I mean, you've got NBA free agency. You've got a Stanley Cup final. You've got an incredible brawl in baseball. And still, the Monday after the fact, maybe it's because I'm never here the Monday after the fact, but there's a ton of reaction. I love it. I love it. Wells is in. I don't think Mark in Boston's call was a failure. Signed, LeBron James.
I mean, it's not a failure at all.
LeBron is one of the greatest players ever, and that's one of the worst takes ever. LeBron took one of the greatest movies ever, Space Jam, and turned it into the single worst movie ever, Space Jam 2. How can a guy be all these things? Arguably the GOAT with arguably the worst take ever.
I mean, it's not a failure at all.
Arguably a top 10 movie all time, Space Jam, turned into the worst movie of all time. Inarguably, Space Jam 2. At Great Blue Dini 4, quote, the concept of a teetotaling smack-off winner able to be the DD to drive people home from a bar after his championship celebration is wild. It really is. It really is. And that's one other thing as I go to break that I love about Caleb winning. The teetotaler won the smack off. You can be that guy and win. You can be the DD and drive home all the drunks who came to cheer you on and win. You don't have to be a dirty, nasty, filthy, fat shamer to win the smack off. He's a teetotaler, self-proclaimed, and he still had enough. That's how good that guy is. A good guy won. Good guys don't always finish last. In fact, sometimes they win the whole damn thing. Good guy. More on that when we come back. It's a popular champ right there. Ken Danico on the other side of this. Dalvin Tomlinson later on. Dana White later on.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Time to ask the pros, where your clones get to ask me a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros, submit a question there. Listen later on, I might answer yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So where are you? I'm here. It's Monday. After the smack off on Friday. I need a deck of moo. Hey, Romy, I had such high hopes for the dog, but he was complete ass. As soon as I heard the deck of moo, I knew it was Caleb, hands down. I thought Vic and NoCal was number two. Hashtag smack off. And by the way, keep hashtagging it. If you're still talking about it, keep hashtagging it smack off.
Hashtag
Amber in Portland, War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
problem.
Vic had another big day. Vic's had two big years in a row. He clearly still matters. He's still relevant. He's still competitive. He's still dangerous. He's had two good years in a row. Tan Smack, we have now returned to the time where BIC just stands for the maker of pens that ruin your shirts and butane lighters that bust your thumbs. Signed, Allen in Manitoba. Yeah, I'm guessing somewhere the champ is hearing all of this and he's just taking mental notes. It's a mistake. It's a huge mistake to throw dirt on that guy. I don't see it. Where do you have it? It's not showing up on my board. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by a three-time Stanley Cup champ. 20 seasons with the New Jersey Devils, a Bill Masterton Trophy winner. He had his number retired by the Devils. He is an NHL Network and MSG analyst. He is Ken Danico. Ken, it is great to have you back. How you doing, Ken?
I'm good, Jim. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great,
today,
Ken.
Shall I say?
Yeah, I am awesome. Thank you so much for doing it. So let me first ask you, as somebody who won three Stanley Cups, Ken, what are the final seconds of a cup-clinching game like? Like, what kind of emotions are running through you in those moments?
Well, as you hear a lot of the players say, Jim, after winning the Stanley Cup, there's no feeling like it, and you just can't put it in words at times. And you saw that with the Avalanche players. I was real happy for a lot of those guys because it brings back fond memories. Every time I watch a Stanley Cup, even as far removed as I've been from my playing days, it brings chills. I actually do get teared because you want to feel that again. Everybody wants to feel it. They've only had two guys that have won a Stanley Cup championship prior, so there's a lot of newbies, a lot of guys that are feeling it for the first time, and that first time is a dream come true. As a kid playing street hockey, you're carrying silver garbage cans over your head pretending it's the Stanley Cup, so it's a dream, and those guys were prepared for it from the last day of the season when they were upset by the Vegas Golden Knights, and you saw it in Nathan McKinnon's interview and eyes, and they did it and had a terrific season and quite the run in the playoffs, only losing four times.
Ken Danico joining us. In fact, I played that soundbite from a year ago, and Nathan McKinnon said, "Hey, I'm 9 years in. I haven't won bleep," and you could see it. You could see how much it hurt him, how much it bothered him. So after winning last night, he was great. He said, quote, "It's crazy how they went back-to-back. I might get fat as bleep right now, so I don't know if we're going back-to-back, but I'm going to enjoy it for sure." I mean, Ken, you won three cups. After you won in 2000, for instance, you went back to the final and you lost to Colorado in seven. So what's the summer like after you win a cup? And then what is it as a challenge? How hard is it to come back and try and defend?
Well, it's a whirlwind. And as you know, to go four grueling rounds, you saw both teams banged up, guys playing through injury, Kadri playing with a surgery on his thumb and a cast in Tampa Bay. I think that's what happened. They just ran out of a little bit of gas and had no Braden Point, which was a big difference. He was so instrumental in their last two Stanley Cup championships. But the offseason's all about the family and friends and celebrating with them. That's what it was for me and the fans, because they support you so all season long, and they just live through you vicariously, and they're so excited when you hoist a Stanley Cup or accomplish something with teammates that you've battled all year long with, and it's just a blast. It's fun. Now, you don't get your mind in hockey for a couple of months after, but then when you get back to the season, you definitely want to do it again because, again, there's no feeling like it, but you enjoy it, man. Yeah, you have fun, a lot of parties, a lot of celebrations. That Stanley Cup has a magnetism to it. I know when I had it here in New Jersey, and I kept it here all three times because I grew up here as a young teenager. I didn't even go back to Canada where I grew up just to share with fans and friends and everybody else, and it's just one of those things, even if you're not a big hockey fan, everybody wants a picture with it.
You know, speaking of that, Ken, like Ray Ferraro was talking about this last night. I love Razor. And he was saying even what it felt like for him the first time he physically saw the cup and what an impression it made upon him. And that's a guy who played the game at a very high level for a long time. I've also seen it in person. Can you explain to somebody what the cup, not only what it represents, but really what the trophy is like and what it's when you see it in person for the first time? What do you remember about it?
Well, you always get asked how heavy it is the first question. And really, it's only about 34.7 pounds to be precise, 35 pounds. And when you're lifting it over your head, it feels like 120 pounds. It did for me anyway, because you're just physically exhausted to go 2 months, four rounds, and to achieve your ultimate goal. But it, just the presence, it's got an aura about it. There's no other way to look at it. It's got an aura about it. And I tell you, I would just bring it surprisingly sometimes to bars or restaurants. I like to see the reaction of people, fortunately winning it three times. And sometimes I would just do that out of the blue. And I was amazed. I mean, just the deer in the headlight look, the wide eyes, everybody going, oh, wow, can I get a picture with it? And that's what it was all about, the fans, family, friends, again, because it's the best sharing it with those guys. And that's what Nathan MacKinnon was talking about. And I'm sure he can't wait to bring it back to his hometown, because I know he in Nova Scotia there, and Sidney Crosby's from there as well. And he's brought it back a few times. Now Nathan MacKinnon gets to bring it back as a Stanley Cup champion. And that is the best feeling in the world.
Ken Danico joining me for a few more moments. Now, you and I were talking earlier in the postseason. You were raving about Cale Makar. Look at this guy. Since then, he finishes it off, Ken, by winning the Norris Trophy, the Conn Smythe Trophy, the Stanley Cup. He's 23. What does the next level look like for him, and how much better can he still become?
Well, I mean, if he isn't a legend already, he certainly will be. He's got a long way to go, but he's got a long career ahead of him. And the sky is the limit, as they say. I mean, we don't know what he's going to accomplish the rest of his career, but I'm sure it's going to be some ridiculous, gaudy numbers and championships and personal honors and trophies. And when it's all said and done, yeah, I can say it already. If he stays healthy, he's a surefire Hall of Famer, and he's only 23 years old. He's that special of a player. And to win the Conn Smythe at that age and only one of three defensemen, 23 or younger, to win it, and Bobby Orr and Serge Savard, that's pretty darn good company. So what a year for Cale Makar, but just the Avalanche team as a whole, and Nathan MacKinnon, these guys, Landeskog, great captain. I love their coach, Jared Bednar. I mean, he's won in every league, professional league in hockey, the East Coast, the American League, and now the Stanley Cup. He's just such a calm, steady influence to his players. And he's got that general look about him, too. I love that. He's got a presence. And anytime your coach has a presence, you respect him, you listen to him, but he's got a calm demeanor. So those guys should be well commended. It's an amazing feat, but boy, were they talented. They wore Tampa Bay down. I mean, that third period, they were just stifling, and they had the puck the whole third. So they didn't sit on it. They played true to their identity, and that's why they're champions today.
I thought they were incredible. I thought the forecheck, I thought the pressure they put on them, the fact that they went 10 minutes without allowing even a shot on goal was absolutely incredible. And I agree with you about Bednar. John Cooper, too, right? Such a class act.
Love him, yeah.
In fact, Ken, it was striking to me that the Tampa players were not talking about how, you know what, it was a great run. All good things come to an end. Steven Stamkos was talking about how it was a total gut punch to come up short and how sick he was to his stomach for the guys who had not won a cup yet. Where do you think the Lightning go from here? And then how hard is it to bounce back from this after winning the last two cups and expending the energy they did?
Well, they're such a well-built team with a core group of leaders. And you mentioned John Cooper, their head coach, and trying to three-peat and become a dynasty. I mean, it's not easy. And obviously they should be commended for going to the Stanley Cup championship 3 years in a row. It's really unprecedented in today's game with the competitive balance in the league. But yeah, it's gut-wrenching. I know when we lost to Colorado in 7 after winning in 2000, everything said eases the pain because you won the year before. No, you want to accomplish something special and win back-to-back or win 3 in a row. And to go that far, it just kills you. But I said the same thing in 2003 when I was winding my career down and then I was coming back in Game 7. I just didn't want to make a mistake, because the guys that hadn't won the cup before, they've got to cherish it, and they got to have this opportunity. So we just want to win a lot of the times for your teammates that you battle with. And it doesn't matter if you're Cale Makar or you're Jack Johnson, a longtime veteran, or Eric Johnson as well. These guys were just unbelievable for them, and it takes everybody. And you want these guys to get that opportunity, the longtime veterans. And a lot of Colorado players said all the right things, and I love that. That's respect to their veterans, their team, and they just were real happy for a lot of guys that have been in the league a long time and hadn't won it. And I know what Tampa Bay's feeling when a couple of guys haven't won it, even though they have. It hurts. It hurts a lot, but Tampa Bay is going to be a team to be reckoned with for a lot of years. And I want to go one thing on Cale Makar. They not only have him, this Bowen Byram kid, 20 years old, is remarkable. He did not make a mistake throughout the playoffs. So they've got two top defensemen, 23 or younger, that are going to carry this team for a long, long time. I love that kid. I'm like, man, he showed poise way beyond his years.
Incredible. And Ken, one last thought. Like, I've got about 90 seconds, and you're obviously going to be a little bit biased, but I'm always struck by the end of the Stanley Cup final. I'm not saying that there's not a fundamental respect amongst athletes in other sports. I'm just not sure that there's as much of a fundamental respect as there is in hockey. At least it seems that way to me. Would you agree with that, or why is hockey different in that regard?
As far as nationally or amongst
amongst themselves. I mean, it's just amazing the fundamental respect as gladiators, players, the love of the game. I mean, I just to see the way players treat themselves after a win or a loss is amazing to me every year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely, because it's their everything. And hockey, a lot of hockey players come up from good families. It's their dream since 6 years old. And you could say it about every sport, but there's something about hockey, and obviously I am a little biased because I grew up with it, and that's all we want to do is play one game in the National Hockey League when we're 7 years old. And the second dream, like I said, that silver garbage can over your head, hoisting the Stanley Cup, and it's not easy. And when you do it, these guys really are warriors and gladiators, on the ice anyway. Because they'll do whatever it takes, play through broken bones, play through anything to help their team win.
Give their bodies up, whatever it takes. He's a three-time Stanley Cup champ, 20 years with the Devils, an NHL Network and MSG analyst, Ken Danico, my guest. Ken, I appreciate it so much. Thanks for coming on. Great job. I really appreciate you.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for doing it, Ken. Nice job. Great job, in fact. When we come back, let's go full-blown smack-off react. Some of the combatants are coming in, and I want to give you my breakdown. That's coming up next. Stay tuned.